Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
So as promised, we're going to show you tonight on Safety Wars Hour 2 on Rumble, YouTube, and we'll download it as a podcast, the February 4th, 2025 Los Angeles City Fire Commissioner meeting. Basically, duck and cover, as we always talk about with public officials who are dealing with sovereign immunity, unless it's something totally and completely off the wall. So, take it for what it's worth. There's some good being said here, there's some bad being said here, and the whole, it goes up, it goes down, it goes here, it goes there. But anyway, I wanted to share the complete meeting. This is really the only commentary I have on it. One of our listeners sent in stuff here. Yeah, let me share it with you. So, basically, one of our listeners I wanted to pull this up, so this may be a little bit choppy, is duck and cover, political duck and cover. Politicians acting like politicians. As we pointed out the last time we covered this, nobody has any apparent experience in either public safety or in firefighting with this. Do we need people who are familiar with budgets and able to negotiate and all those other stuff? Yeah, we do. But to not have people who are capable of knowing what this is, right? We have learning teams in safety where we try to learn what's going on and learn the job before we put things into context and everything else out there. We have all that. This is an example of what happens when you have people in charge who don't know what's going on. And this happens all the time in public discourse and dealing with politicians. You get posturing, you get this, you get that, where there could be a simple solution, and guess what? There isn't one. I describe it like this. You're dealing with often attorneys, administrators, and what are they worried about? Paperwork. And it starts from a very young age. It starts in kindergarten or before that, where you get a nice sticker for a good good assignment. Then you get a grade on it later on, and before you know it, the people who are running things, they only know about paper often. So what? And they're very good at negotiating. Our politicians, very good at negotiating. Attorneys, very good at negotiating. Now, that is a soft skill that not a lot of people have, is trying to negotiate things in an organization. So what ended up happening with this was duck and cover, make things sound really good, but for the people who really know, posturing. We'll see if this does more harm than good in the long run. So what can we learn from this whole situation here in this whole situation? If you're a safety professional, you're a person in charge, anything like that. Find out how to do the work. Take those things seriously when someone says, I need X, Y, and Z. Because this has been a 40-year, 50-year, 60-year problem in Los Angeles County, Los Angeles City. They're, according to some of the testimony, one-third of where they need to be in terms of budget, The firefighters are severely undermanned. Equipment is lacking. Capacity for the water supply for fire hydrants, everything else. Now, there was another show out there today. I was listening. I'm on vacation, but we are bringing you some programs. There's another show out there that described the what's going on in Hawaii with their fires last year. And there's a lot of conspiracy theories. There's a lot of theories out there why they haven't gotten progressed in their cleanup and development. One of them is, hey, they're probably holding out to sell or condemn this land and build something bigger, something huge. Luxury apartment buildings, high density housing, things of that nature. From Rockland County, New York, you know exactly what I'm talking about with the high density housing there going up all over the place, and Orange County, New York, too. And the detriment it does to a lot of communities, it completely changes the character of communities, and it also guarantees voting blocks in there. Woodbridge, New Jersey, Woodbridge Township, New Jersey, or my hometown, another great example of that, where they got high-density housing to make up for a lot of the effects of Superstorm Sandy, where they had to get rid of whole neighborhoods. There, they put them back to nature, so to speak. So we'll see how this plays out here with everything, what the long-term effects are. What do we learn? One, learn how to do the job. Two, when someone said request something, let them request it and see if it makes sense with that. Why do you need this? And if you go and ignore all this stuff, you're going to have a problem eventually. Whether it's a pair of safety glasses, respiratory protection, an industrial hygiene audit, various controls you can put in there other than PPE, any training, anything like that. The default answer being no leads you down a path to bad places with that. So I'm going to let you judge for yourself here. But, you know, that's some of my listener comments here is, you know, duck and cover. Posturing, you can tell they're politicians. Let's remember on that hazard matrix table that we talk about so often, where you have risk is defined as likelihood of occurrence times consequence, and you come up with a number. Right now, we assign numbers, so we come up with a number. That's the modern way of doing things. But when you're dealing with sovereign immunity and people who have no liability, like a supervisor, like an owner with an employee gets hurt, and things of that nature, you have to add another differential. Not only is it likelihood of occurrence, not only is it the consequence of that occurrence, right? That's usually what defines risk. You have to multiply it by another number. It's called zero. Because that's what the differential is. That's what the added coefficient is here. That's the added whatever your variable. It's zero. So if you're a politician or anything, there's no risk because of sovereign immunity. If you're a supervisor, often very little risk. The worst they could do is fire you, and they can't give you a bad reference in most states. So there's no consequence. Unless it's something totally egregious and a high-end type of disaster, no one ever knows who you are. So guess what? If you're the worker, you got to realize that. Who are you working for, and do they actually have any risk? What happens when things go wrong? What happens when things go right? Because things go right a whole hell of a lot more than they go wrong. And that's all my message for today for Safety Wars. Please enjoy the video, and we'll see you, God willing, tomorrow.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Hi. Good morning. Hi, everybody.
Good morning.
This is the Board of Fire Commissioners' regular meeting for Tuesday, February 4th. Chief Raleigh. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Could you call the roll? Ms. Hill, can you call the roll?
Does it need to be louder?
President, can you speak into the mic, please? I don't think, can you try it again?
What?
It's on.
Hello, hello.
Oh, can you hear me? Oh, that's okay. Even if the microphone doesn't work, I'm a school teacher. So I'll just use my school teacher big voice, right? Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
So we'll wait for technology to catch up. It doesn't matter. I'm used to screaming at children across the playground. So this is the Board of Fire Commissioners regular meeting, Tuesday, February 4th. Ms. Neverly, can you call the roll?
Neverly Hill. Sorry. I was about to do some old ways. President Hudley Hayes?
Here.
Vice President DeLugage?
Here.
Commissioner Babcock? Commissioner Hara?
Here.
Commissioner Woods Gray?
Here.
Fire Chief Crowley?
Here.
Deputy City Attorney Linda Nguyen?
Here.
And we have quorum.
Thank you. Chief Crowley?
Okay, if you could please stand. Hand over your heart. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing and join me in a moment of silence. In honor of past and present members of Los Angeles City Fire Department who devote their lives to the protection of our community. Thank you.
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We're going to go with agenda item one. That's commission comments. Commissioners, does anybody have comments? Commissioner Woods Gray?
Good morning.
See, her microphone.
I don't think you can hear me, though, but my mic is on. It goes in and out, huh? Maybe I need to get closer to it. Does that work better? Because usually it's not like that. But good morning, everyone. It's been a long time. So glad to see so many of you there and all of us here. First, I want to say happy Black History Month. And let everybody know, no one can tell you what to celebrate. You celebrate what's important to you. And we will always celebrate who we are. Black History Month is something that we're going to celebrate. And no one is going to tell us we can't. We were told we couldn't celebrate it many years ago, but we celebrated it anyway. It was a day, a week, and then it became a month. We are going to be proud of who we are. And we want everyone else to celebrate with us and appreciate the many, many contributions that African Americans have made to this country, to this department, and to the world. And with that, I want to thank all of those wonderful LAFD firefighters, led by Chief Crowley and her team. Thank you for all of the hard work that you did. While some people don't clearly understand everything that you did, or what was happening, and the forces of nature, I clearly understood where you were and where you were coming from, and I couldn't shout loud enough some of the things that I knew that they were saying that were not really wholly the truth. But you did an excellent job fighting the fire. A lot of homes were lost. It's just terrible looking at what I see on television. I wanted to view the site, but I said, why should I get in the way? I mean, just over there being a looky-loo. There was work to do, and I didn't need to be there. But I am extremely supportive and so saddened by the deaths and the injuries and the loss that we see in Southern California, but in particularly Los Angeles. And we have to also define Los Angeles because people are claiming, giving us territories that don't belong to us. So we must also make sure they know that we are Los Angeles and certain territories belong to us, not the whole Southern California. And I only had one thing request I wanted to make out of the information that came out. When we saw the blurb on television to request firefighters to report in to tell us how quickly they could get here, I would like to know about the people who were out of town, though we've always had this discussion before. I'd like to know how many people there were out of town, what was their estimated time for arrival here, and when did they arrive? Because that is something that we've talked about before, and I It's still something that we need to work on, whether it's a city charter of some kind, a change in the charter or whatever. Somehow we need to have our emergency people close to home. And this really proved it. Before, we were just talking about it because it was theoretically we could see it could happen. But it happened. So now we need to do something about it. Thank you very much again, and I appreciate all of you for all the work that you have done in the last few weeks to save the city.
Thank you, Commissioner Woods. Great. Are there other comments from other commissioners? No, you're good?
I'm good right now.
Yeah. You do it. Go.
First of all, apologies for my tardiness, especially on an important day like this to be present, and glad to be here with all four of my fellow commissioners. I think it's been a long time that the five of us have sat behind this this table, which is definitely an honor to continue to be here, and looking forward to, you know, being engaged in the aftermath of everything that has to be done before we continue to point fingers in the way that it has been done over the past couple weeks. Not proud of that by any means. I will take responsibility as an appointed commissioner to do better, to hold accountability where it needs to be done, and that when we have these meetings, that we are here to engage in our purview, that we are able to actually be here to be able to do together as a board of commissioners and to have a more clear understanding of that path, hopefully working with the chief officers, the council, the mayor. There's a lot of us that could probably come together more often to do that work better. So just speaking on behalf of myself and no one else, and of course this is a thankless job, and all of LA City Fire and the chief and everybody that came together to do this, thank you is not enough. Those two words don't really do the justice of what it is, because I know you always say that this is your job and this is what you're paid to do, and come together, and whether it's defending life or defending home or defending this great city. So at least thank you. All for right now.
Thank you. Commissioner DeLukic?
Yes, I just want to add my voice to appreciation for all of our firefighters and everybody in the fire department. I know it was really especially hard and frustrating for everybody to not be able to do more during those first horrible hours. And I got lots of messages from support from all over the country and gratitude to our fire department and our chief and our city. So I agree that the words thank you don't convey nearly enough, but I am deeply grateful for all that you all do every day, and especially in this particular crazy time.
The Los Angeles Fire Department is actually an all-hazard emergency response organization. It happens to be the finest wildland firefighting organization on the West Coast, and there is plenty of data to support that. I want to make that very clear before I make my comments. This city should be overly grateful for the Los Angeles Fire Department, the way in which it responded, Chief Crowley, to an emergency that was an act of nature. Hurricane winds, 0.02 moisture we've had way back in October. So you had bone dry brush. The topography of Los Angeles and the canyons, fire runs up. So it's pushed by hurricane winds. I want to commend the Los Angeles Fire Department for how they handled this which was an emergency like nothing that we have ever seen. We get Santa Ana winds all the time. That's what happens. This was something that was totally, completely different. To every firefighter within the Los Angeles Fire Department, to their partners, I want to express and commend deeply that these folks put their bodies on the line, their lives, their bodies. They put their bodies on the line to make sure that the rest of us are safe. In doing that, Chief Crowley also has a responsibility to make sure that there are resources that cover the rest of a 477 square mile city. The calls don't stop because there's a wildland fire. 85% of our work is still emergency services. And so what wasn't explained in the paper carefully, while people are busy pointing fingers, when our fire chief and our mayor are trying to be focused on the emergency in front of them, is that the day-to-day safety of the city is still the responsibility of the fire chief, while she is managing that which is almost unmanageable. Okay? I see Freddie Escobar sitting in the audience, president of UFLAC. His members stepped up to the plate. Nobody had to call them and say, can you please come? Would you please do what you need to do? It's what they do all of the time. So I want to say myself, but as part of this commission, that I am commending the Los Angeles Fire Department for responding in the way that they did. From your top leadership to that person that we call boots on the ground, those men and women who are in those fire stations who responded in the way that they've always responded. I want to thank all of you. Our hearts do go out to those who have lost not just their houses, but their homes and their memories and the trauma of losing everything that is precious to you. If you live in your house for more than 5 minutes, you've got memories packed and packed and packed in your house. So our compassion, our empathy, our hearts go out. We are very hopeful that the recovery will happen quickly. Not too quickly to put people in danger, but we're going to all draw together as a city. And anything that we can do, anything that we can help find ways to volunteer, all of us should be finding ways to volunteer. All of us should be joining together to try to make sure that the recovery is smooth. But that's my comment. And my final comment is, because the Fire Commission actually does govern the fire department, the commission itself will be doing an independent audit of the Palisades fires. We will join with anybody else, but our responsibility, according to the charter, is to audit the functions of the fire department, to audit the responses of the fire department. And so, commissioners, we will be taking that on. We will be doing an independent audit so that Commissioner Woods Gray, your questions can be answered.
Very good.
It'll be very transparent. But as of today, I want to commend, and I don't think I can say it enough, I want to commend the Los Angeles Fire Department, and I am pleased, me personally, to be a part of working with governing the fire department.
Okay. Madam President, may I say once, I forgot to mention one something which I really want to go back and mention, and I want to say Happy Lunar New Year to our members and to the city. We have increased our number of API in LAFD since I started a few years ago. And I'm really proud of that. So I do want to say Happy New Year.
All right. That takes us to the public comment period. We're going to start with, Freddie Escobar, president of UFLAC. This is new.
Good morning, President Huldy Hayes and honorable commissioners. As mentioned, Freddie Escobar, president of UFLAC. And if you could give me just a little latitude on the time. It's very emotional for me. Remembering on December 17th, almost a month ago, we came back, and I was asked a lot of difficult questions at that time. And I wrote everything down, but I'd be remiss if I didn't start with acknowledging our hearts.
You don't have to ask us for extra time.
Thank you.
You need to speak, and you need to tell us what you want to tell us, and so just go ahead.
Thank you, President. I want to acknowledge not only the residents of the Pacific Palisades, but Altadena. Our hearts go out to everybody who has suffered losses and are going through these losses. We have personal members who have lost everything, and people pay the ultimate sacrifice, not badge-worn, but civilians protecting their own homes. So our thoughts and prayers go out to them. Thank you, President Huldy Hayes, for the kind message within 24, 48 hours of that incident. You specifically said, do not call me back unless I needed anything. But those words meant the world to me, for everybody to understand what the members that we represent are going through. We've been labeled heroes. I don't believe we are heroes. A friend of mine sent me an Instagram post that says, we are firefighters, we're firemen, firewomen. We extinguish fires, we mitigate issues. And it is mentally challenging for a lot of the members that we weren't able to save more. And for people to say that we should have done this and we shouldn't have done that and attack individuals, I think it's wrong. And those are issues that we have to deal with. But the members we represent at UFLAC, just as you mentioned, came up, represented, and did the call that they were asked to do when they raised their right hand, not only from UFLAC, but from the Chief Officers Association, everybody that wears the badge, the patch, not only in LA City, but across the state of California, outside the state, and even into different countries that came into this disastrous. So thank you for that. I could go on forever, but I wrote down some things here to cover it and not get so emotional, so thank you very much. It's been almost a month and a half since the last Fire Commission meeting on December 17th, and it's pretty incredible to think about how much our world has changed since then. On January 7th, the Pacific Palisades broke out and eventually became the most destructive fire in Los Angeles history. At least 12 people lost their lives and nearly 7,000 structures were destroyed in this fire. This was the most destructive fire in history of Los Angeles and unlike anything we've seen before. So how did we get here? And more importantly, how do we move forward? UFLAC's been saying for years and years that the LAFD is understaffed and underfunded. These are facts. Here are some numbers that I'm hoping you will all listen to closely. The three most iconic West Coast cities are Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Seattle. All three are major urban cities dealing with homeless and drug problems, fire risk, earthquake risk, and much more. But here's the difference. The San Francisco Fire Department serves a population of 789,000 people, and their current fire department budget is $531 million. That means each San Francisco resident pays $673 per year for their fire service. The Seattle Fire Department serves a population of 760,000 people, and their current year fire department budget is $273 million. Each Seattle resident pays $359 per year for their fire service. So how about Los Angeles? The Los Angeles Fire Department serves a population of 3.8 million people, and our current year fire department budget is $837 million. That means each resident of LA City pays $220 per year for their fire service. Let me repeat myself. San Francisco Fire, $673 per year per resident. Seattle Fire, $359 per year per resident. Los Angeles City Fire, $220 per year per resident. If we paid $673 per resident like San Francisco does, our annual budget would be $2.5 billion. Yes, $2.5 billion. These are objective and indisputable facts. It's a damn shame, and excuse my language, that it took this incident, the Pacific Palisades, to finally bring attention to our grossly understaffed and underfunded fire department. You, UFLAC, we will continue to tell the truth and state the facts. Chief Crowley, you also told the truth. We appreciate that. We stand with you, and we have your back. You're going to hear from more board members who will discuss issues related to our staffing, cancer problems, and other issues as paychecks and much more. I'm asking you, President Hudley Hayes, to stand with us and fight for us. And the last thing I want to say, my heart goes out to every Angeleno, and I'd be remiss if I didn't address this again like I did last time. I want to thank Councilwoman from the 11th District for standing with us through these difficult times. I believe she's been a monster of a leader for her district and is an excellent example of what right looks like as a council person. So, Tracy Park, thank you very much for continuing standing with the Los Angeles Fire Department and with you, UFLAC.
Thank you. Let me clear up one little thing that Freddie said. I did make a call on behalf of the Fire Commission. Generally, we're supposed to get noticed, and somebody's supposed to call us, and they're supposed to keep us updated, and they're supposed to give us day-to-day. What I wanted Freddie to know, and what I wanted Chief Crowley to know when she called me and gave me the first briefing, was that I did not want anyone to be deterred from the duty that they had to do in this emergency. And so I asked Chief Crowley and Freddie Escobar not to worry about the commission. We didn't need to be updated. We didn't need to be debriefed. That's not what we're here for, to get in the way of things. And so that's what Freddie was talking about. Ordinarily, the fire chief briefs us. And I just want to make that plain, that we really and truly were ancillary under these conditions. Freddie's right, and the chief is right. We were ancillary to that. And so my main goal was to make sure that the fire department was focused on the emergency at hand. And so that's why I made that call, that we could be debriefed later. There's going to be plenty of time for all of that to happen. So thanks for mentioning that, but I didn't want people to think that I was just saying we didn't care or that we didn't want to know. It just wasn't the time for us to have those kinds of briefings. So our next speaker is Kevin Frank. He's also representing UFLAC.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to speak on all items in general public comment. My name is Kevin Frank, and I'm honored to serve as a newly elected director with United Firefighters of Los Angeles City. I'm also a 19-year veteran of the department, currently serving as a Captain 1 at Fire Station 67 in Playa Vista. As the chair of UFLAC's Health and Safety Committee, I want to speak today about the hazardous conditions and dangerous aftermath of the Palisades Fire, not just for the residents returning to their homes, but for the firefighters who battle on the front lines. Let me share some critical facts about cancer in the fire service. Cancer is the number one cause of death for firefighters. Firefighters have a 9% higher risk of being diagnosed with cancer and a 14% greater risk of dying from it. In 2023, 72% of IAFF member line of duty deaths were due to occupational cancer. The International Agency for Research on Cancer has classified this profession of firefighting as a group 1 carcinogen that is known to cause cancer and to be harmful to the health of humans. The life expectancy for firefighters is 10 years less than the average person. I bring this up because what we witnessed on January 7th was unprecedented in Los Angeles. More than 6,000 structures burned, hundreds if not thousands of lithium-ion batteries ignited, releasing highly toxic cancer-causing chemicals into the air. We don't know the full extent of the health consequences this disaster will have on our firefighters, but we do know this. The impact will be severe. Many of our members spent 12 to 14 days straight working in these hazardous conditions, exposed to dangerous toxins with long-term effects we are only beginning to understand. Blood and urine testing is available for our firefighters. We continue to push out this information to every member to get tested, but testing is only the first step. I am here to implore the city, the fire chief, the fire commission to expand and prioritize ongoing testing, medical screening, and immediate health care for firefighters experiencing symptoms. Establish long-term monitoring, not just for months, but for years, to track the health impact of this fire. And to ensure continued support long after the media moves on, because when the headlines may fade, our firefighters will still be here helping this city rebuild while facing the health consequences of the most destructive fire in our city's history. We cannot let them fight this battle alone. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you. Our next public speaker is David Fabla, also representing UFLAC.
It's pronounced Fabella. Good morning.
My apologies.
That's all right. Good morning, Commissioners, Chief Crowley. My name is David Fabella. I'm a director with UFLAC, and I'm a Captain 2, Fire Station 27, that serves the Hollywood area. I'm a 30-year veteran of the fire department. I've worked with many of these chief officers in the room today, and Chief Crowley included. Thank you for your sincere, kind words regards to the efforts of the men and women of the LAFD. The topic I'd like to talk about today in my short time is the payroll issue that we've been experiencing. In my 31 years, I've never experienced or seen such a mess when it comes to paying our people properly and accurately. Two things I'm told when I became a supervisor was, keep your people safe and pay them right. And this is something that obviously has become a flaw currently in the LAFD, is getting our people paid properly. The UFLAC met with, council members. We've met with the fire chief and those that are working to help us get this right and make these folks whole. We're asking that we have this, if we can get the support of the fire commission to help us correct this wrong, get our people paid properly and accurately. A lot of them have been waiting for months, years, to get this done, you know, in a timely manner as far as accurately. It's difficult as a supervisor to talk to the spouses of my people and to have no answer for them when they ask, why isn't my husband's or my wife's paycheck correct? And a lot of our members are single earning households. So they really rely on their paycheck. They do a great job, and we ask them to stay, and they're dedicated and committed. And the last and least and most important thing we can do is actually pay them for that. So we're asking that UFLAC to get your support in making sure that we can correct this error, make these folks whole, get them paid accurately, and get this resolved. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Chong Ho, who also is representing UFLAC.
Good morning. I'm here to speak on all agenda items and also provide general public comment. Good morning, Madam President, Board of Fire Commissioners, Chief Crowley, Deputy City Attorney, staff. My name is Chong Ho. I'm a proud Captain 2 of the LAFD and also a UFLAC director. And it was just a couple of months ago, last December, where I stood before all of you in support of Fire Chief Crowley's proposed budget as the bare minimum to run this fire department. Little did we know at that time that in a few weeks, the city would face the most devastating brush fire in its history. For years, UFLAC has been advocating for more funding for the LAFD. But time and time again, we're told that there is no more money. However, billions of city dollars continue to be poured into other city issues, while our fire department remains underfunded every single budget cycle. Our staffing levels have remained relatively stagnant since the 1960s, yet the city's population has doubled in size. The LAFD transports over 600 people a day to critical care facilities and hospitals, yet we don't have enough paramedics to do this job safely and effectively. We have million-dollar fire apparatus sidelined because the mechanics that are supposed to fix them were not funded. The overall conditions of so many of our fire stations are deplorable because we simply can't afford to maintain them. And all of this is not acceptable. And to be clear, this problem wasn't created by one budget cycle. It wasn't created by one administration. It's been a systematic underfunding of the LAFD for years. It's tragic that it takes such a devastating disaster like we just experienced to shed light on our concerns. We hope now that the city is true and committed to fund the fire department the way it needs to be funded. Please stand with your firefighters as we ask for additional funding so that we can do our jobs right and provide the level of service that this city so greatly deserves. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Rich Ramirez, who also is from UFLAC.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Rich Ramirez, second VP, UFLAC, Local 112, and also a firefighter paramedic for 19 years for the LAFD. I'd like to start off by saying I'm very proud to call myself a firefighter for the LAFD, and I'm proud to serve next to the brothers and sisters that I represent, UFLAC. I want to start off by saying at the December Fire Commission meeting, the standards of cover report findings were discussed. And those findings are worth repeating today. Since 1960, our population has grown by 1.4 million people, and yet we have six fewer fire stations in the city of Los Angeles. In 2023, we responded to five times the number of calls since 1969, with fewer fire stations and the same number of firefighters. The national staffing average for densely populated cities is 1.5 to 1.8 firefighters per 1,000 people. But the LAFD has 0.9 firefighters, half of the nation average. All of this makes the LAFD the most understaffed fire department in the nation. For these reasons, UFLAC fully supports the standard of coverage report findings. We need to add an additional 62 fire stations, add hundreds of new firefighters and paramedics, and dozens of new dispatchers with new battalions. Now more than ever, there should be no doubt in anyone's mind that our fire department needs to be substantially funded and upgraded. Resources matter. We need trucks, engines, firefighters, mechanics, and those personnel that help us get our day-to-day operations done. If this wasn't the case, we wouldn't have seen more than 5,000 total firefighters at the Palisades Fire alone in seconds and third weeks of the fire, but most of those resources came from outside of the city. The men and women of our department risk their lives to protect the people and property of our city, but they can only do so with what they're provided with. UFLAC has been advocating for years about the lack of funding of our department. The number one job of any city is to keep the residents safe. So the firefighters, to us firefighters, it's upsetting when LAFD positions and resources are cut, both civilian and sworn. Let's do what's right and stop cutting corners. The only way to move forward now is with the bond measure, so we can finally fund the fire department the way it should be. And whether we go through council or go straight to the voters to get the signatures to put it on the ballot, we know that this needs to get done. The residents of LA have suffered enough, and city leaders must have the courage to make the real lasting change moving forward. I also want to say thank you, Chief Crawley, for speaking what we call the boots on the ground. I've been saying for years, so thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you. That brings us to Councilwoman Tracy Park. And to those who are not in the room, and to those of you that are in the room, Councilwoman, we're going to suspend the three-minute time limit so that you can share with us fully.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, President Hudley Hayes, and all of the honorable commissioners. Thank you to Freddie, Kevin, David, Chung, and Rich, and Chief Crowley for being at my side these last awful 28 days. When I left here on December 17th, I knew I was going to be back, but I had no idea it was going to be this soon or under these circumstances. The Pacific Palisades was one of the most beautiful, unique, vibrant, engaged communities anywhere in our city. A perfect hamlet, nestled on the bluffs of the Pacific Palisades rising towards the Santa Monica Mountains, with six major canyons winding their way back to the ocean. Over the course of a century, this tight-knit community grew from 100 homes in 1925 to well over 10,000 just last year. Fire Station 23 on Sunset near PCH opened 62 years ago in 1963. Then we got our second fire station in 1967, our beloved Station 69, right in the heart of the Palisades Village. Back when the Palisades was a fraction of the population size it is today, or was. Despite huge growth spurts between the 1960s and today, the Pacific Palisades has the same number of stations and about the same number of firefighters today that it did back in the 1960s. That's insane. Despite this, year after year after year, we increased density, adding more homes and traffic and strain on our infrastructure, our roads, our pipes, our water systems, our power grid, our schools, our police, and our firefighters and paramedics. But we have never invested enough in the infrastructure to support all of that growth and traffic and risk. And look where it's gotten us. There are public safety risks and environmental catastrophes waiting to happen everywhere you turn. Over the last decade in California alone, we've set records for the largest, deadliest, and most destructive fires in the history of the U.S. And now, FEMA tells me that the Eaton and Palisades fires are the largest disaster they have ever responded to in the United States. We constantly hear phrases like storm of the century or once-in-a-lifetime weather event. But then it happens again and again. And now, our entire Palisades are gone. I tell the story of rampant growth without concurrent investment in infrastructure in the Pacific Palisades and the lack of adequate growth and investment in our fire department to meet modern demands, because this same story is true all over the city of Los Angeles. I was here 21 days before the fire broke out. We talked at length about the fire stations across the city in desperate need of repairs. Leaky roofs, broken HVAC systems, PFAS extractors that we can't plug into the walls because we don't have the right wiring to support the equipment. Our LAFD budget is a fraction of what it should be, and our staffing levels are half of what they should be for a city of our size. And we already know from the Standards of Cover report that we need at least 62 new fire stations just to meet average daily demand. Not 5, not 10, not 25, 62 new stations. I said when I was here last that given the state of our budget, which is only going to get worse, that we needed a ballot measure to address at least some of what lies ahead. That's why, in support of UFLAC's efforts, I introduced a motion with Councilwoman Monica Rodriguez asking for a June 2026 bond measure to provide funding for essential maintenance of our current fire stations and for the construction of much-needed new stations, which will bring the LAFD up to the standards we need for the next 50 years. After the last devastating 28 days, my community and I are more united than ever, and our purpose cannot be more clear. We want a properly staffed and resourced fire department, period. We owe that to every Angeleno. I thank you all in advance for your continued collaboration and support of these efforts, and I know that we have a lot to talk about in the weeks and the months ahead, but I want you to know that I am here to support you and the work that you do in every way that I can. Thank you again for your time this morning.
Thank you, Councilmember Park. Our next speaker is Paul. Wow.
I can't read that. Scrivano.
We're going to try for Scrivano. Is that it?
Scrivano.
Okay.
Yes, my name's Paul Scrivano. I'm a citizen and business owner in Los Angeles. And I've been in this room about 25 times in the past 2 years as I watched firefighter after firefighter get fired for the vaccine mandate. BOR hearings where Advocate Bayham and Advocate Wilcox berated, humiliated firefighters as they sat right in that chair, and eventually they were convicted and fired. On Matt Mamone's termination day, Chief Werfel sat in your chair, President Hudley Hayes, and demanded Engineer Mamone strip his uniform off after he was terminated and leave the room in his underwear. That's how disgraceful it was in here. So my statement is you don't need a whole bunch more stations and you don't need a whole bunch more firemen. You need to respect the firefighters that you have in the department. And I would also demand, as commissioners, you get with the city council and the mayor and tell LASA to handle the homeless situation that firefighters are responding to. These are not emergencies that most of these guys are responding to. They're just going out because a guy is drunk and yelling, and the police will not show up, so the firefighters show up. This is also the first time I'm in the same room with Chief Crowley since May 14, 2022, when she handed me this plaque as honorary chief after long time fundraising and being friends with the fire department. She shook my hand, she took pictures with me, she handed me the plaque, and then made the mistake of handing me a microphone so I could make a speech. And in that speech, I stated the truth about what's happening out on the streets. And after 4 minutes of making that speech, Chief Crowley had her 6'8" PIO, Eric Scott, pull my mic and kick me out of the station and told me never to return to fire department property, if you remember correctly. And then you walked out of fire service day. You also last week or the week before told CBS News that, well, first you told Gigi Graciette as fire commissioner, as fire chief, you didn't know where the water came from. And that when you open up a hydrant, you expect water to come out of that hydrant. A fire chief and a past fire marshal doesn't expect water to come out of a fire hydrant. You ensure that water comes out of that fire hydrant through inspections as the fire marshal, through inspections and through communication with DWP on the health of those fire hydrants. And those fire hydrants ran empty. You lied to the public when you said there was full pre-deployment. There was not full pre-deployment. I don't communicate with a lot of these guys. I communicate with a lot of those guys out on the street. And they told me there was less than 10% pre-deployment. So you lied to the public. You lied to me when you said there was pre-deployment. For these reasons, I'm going to ask Chief Crowley to resign today.
Okay.
I'm resigning as honorary chief. You can have this back. I don't want it anymore.
We'll take it back, but your 3 minutes are...
Thank you. I'm just saying the sight of this disgusts me.
Okay.
And to have a chief like this in
our
city.
Thank you, sir. That is time.
Thank you. But your time is up. Thank you. Our next public comment is from Bike Guy.
Good morning, Chief Crowley. Good morning, Commission. I have an idea that might save the department some money. Excuse me. I couldn't find my full blue jumpsuit, so I went halfway. This is to encourage, again, single-function RA personnel. The pay is different. Retirement's different. You save a lot of money that way, okay? Second thing, we just took delivery, I think, a year ago, the new helmets. I think they're Carnes Brothers. Anyhow, they changed red for captain. Okay, what I'm going to suggest in 3 years when the time is up to reorder, rather than order a whole bunch of new red ones for the captains, take half the good ones, save the good ones, and replace the ones that need replacing with orange, meaning we could make truckies or Captain 2s with a red helmet, Captain 1 on the engine with an orange helmet to designate, because they used to have on the side of the helmet, a red was a truckie and blue was an engine and green was something special. It's for identification purposes, and that's my thing. Oh, and if anybody ever comes across any old Nomex denim, throw them my way for my collection. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Ms. Hill, do we have any other public comment cards that came in late?
No, we do not.
Okay, thank you. I want to make something perfectly clear before we move on to agenda item 3. I don't think anybody on the Fire Commission disputes the fact that we need more funding. What?
Oh, she sneezed. I was just... Blessing. I'm wishing her good health.
What?
Commissioner Woodsbury sneezed.
Gesundheit.
Sorry.
I want to make something perfectly clear. The Fire Commission has always stood with Chief Crowley, with you, Flack, about the fact that the fire department is underfunded. There's no question about that. But here's what I want to clear up. This didn't start with one administration. And so I want to make that very clear. The administration that's in power is the administration, unfortunately, that wears stuff. I was on the Fire Commission 10 years ago, and we still had the problem of being underfunded. So while I am going to join with you, Flack, with the Chief Officers Association, with Chief Crowley, with my colleagues, to continue to beat the drum that we need to be fully funded, that is not something that can happen overnight. It's going to take everybody. It's going to take the mayor. It's going to take the city council, who also has a responsibility in shaping the budget. It is going to take Chief Crowley to continue to stand up. But I would be remiss if I did not say to you that this is a long-standing problem. I was on the commission 10 years ago. I was the president of the commission for six of those years. And we had these same conversations that we're having right now. So before we get into who should we demonize and who should we not demonize and whose fault this is and whose fault this isn't, this is a long-standing problem. It has to be addressed. Absolutely. Is it going to happen overnight? I believe that this is going to take time. Time, effort, looking at the resources of the city. Do we need to have a conversation that reshapes our friends on the council, that reshapes the mayor's budget? Yes, we should continue to have those conversations. But I don't want anybody in this room or listening to this commission meeting to believe that this is something that can be laid at any one administration's doorstep. We simply have to continue to talk about this. We have to continue to march in solidarity about this with the LAFD, with the mayor's office, with the city council, to get it done. The problem that I saw in the press, and I am making my own personal statement, was the ability for the media to try to fracture us, to try to start us pointing fingers at one another, when what we really need to understand is this is a shared responsibility. Yes, we need more funding. We absolutely need more funding. I'm going to look right at you and tell you that I agree that we need more funding. I'm not going to back down on that. But this is something that you do in collaboration. This is something that you do in solidarity. This is something that you do as you coalesce around a problem. This is not something that we're going to get done if we are busy being fractured. UFLAC one place, the chief someplace else, the council someplace else, the mayor someplace else. That's not how we're going to get this done. This problem is not going to get solved like that. And if there are those people that don't believe that, then I'm fine. You should come to commission meeting. You can tell me another way that this can get done. But if we're not all going to be walking together, holding hands, and continuing to say what we need to say, continuing to say what we need to have happen, we are simply going to dig ourselves into a deeper hole. And I want to make sure that I say that. That's a personal statement. Years and years and years, I have been a public servant. Years and years and years, I have been in these kinds of positions. And I can say point blank that the lessons that I have learned is if we're not willing to collaborate, if we're not willing to work together, we are not going to get anywhere. And we certainly won't get there as fast as we need to get there. So that's my final comment. For my commissioners, I think we're committed to doing that. But we need to make sure that everybody who's listening to this commission meeting, everybody who knows that we need this kind of help, that we need to make sure that it is in collaboration with everybody that we can bring this to bear. I'm okay, Mr. Escobar, for a bond measure. I'm okay for all of that. But as you well know, if we're going to do anything about a bond measure, everybody has to be in the game. Everybody has to put skin in the game if we want to get that to happen. So that's my final request and ask, is that we need to be walking in lockstep, because that's actually how you get things done. That's how democracy works. And I think we still are a democracy. I think we still are. Okay. So we're now to item three. That's the report of the fire chief.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. So I'd like to just start holistically with just taking a very important moment to share with everybody that's here, that's taking time out of your busy days, as well as all those that are listening in, that the LAFD holistically stands with and will continue to serve those who have been impacted by the wildfires over the past few weeks. Our hearts, our thoughts, our prayers are with all of our communities that have lost their loved ones, their homes, their communities, and their businesses. When I talk about our members, our LEFD as a whole, and we've said this together, both UFLAC, Chief Officers Association, everybody that's part of our organization, hold your heads up high. The amount of support, sacrifice, dedication to the mission was so evident over the past few weeks. And I tell you, we are 100% going to continue to serve our communities to our greatest effort so that we can meet our mission. I also want to start with expressing my deepest gratitude to every single member of the LEFD, both sworn and civilian, our mutual aid partners, local, regional, state, federal partners, our volunteers, nonprofit partners, our city leadership, and other city and county departments and the communities that we serve. We are so very grateful for you. Over the past few weeks, as we know, we have faced one of the most challenging periods in our 139-year history, battling multiple wildfires across the city and, like we spoke about earlier, continuing to serve and respond to over 1,500 calls for service and transporting over 650 patients a day to our local hospitals. Now, despite these challenges, our firefighters and our sworn and civilian members across the board have demonstrated unwavering dedication, courage, sacrifice, and resilience in protecting lives and property. The city of Los Angeles and our region has seen a surge in wildland fires and which has absolutely tested our department's endurance and resources. I want to just take a moment to just at a very high level just recap what these last 3 to 4 weeks have been and what has shown to our fire service as a whole. And according to CAL FIRE, 17 wildland fires occurred in the month of January that recorded a measurable burn of 1 or more acres in the state of California. All fires occurred in Southern California area. The LEFD was directly involved in 9 of these incidences. Now, just as I start to name all these incidences, the Queensway fire, that was in Hollywood, January 7th, 2025, started at 10:09 hours. Palisades fire, January 7th, started at 10:29 hours. Hearst fire, that was in North Los Angeles City, San Fernando Valley, January 7th as well, at 22:29 hours. Sunset Fire, Los Angeles City, Hollywood Hills, January 8th, 2025, 17:30 hours. Sunswept Fire, Los Angeles City, that was in Studio City, January 8th, at 2025, at 2100 hours. Kenneth Fire, Los Angeles City in Ventura County near Calabasas. Archer Fire, that was in the city of Los Angeles, Granada Hills, on January 10th at 10:25 hours. Hughes Fire, that was Los Angeles County near Castaic, that was January 22nd, in which our LEFD sent 5 strike teams, that's 25 engines and a dozer team. And lastly, the Sepulveda Fire, that was in the city of Los Angeles near the Getty Center area, January 23rd at 2025 at 0:23 hours. So when we line all of that up over just the past 3 weeks, that's what our region, that's what the fire department, the fire service has dealt with in this very short amount of time. The combination of record-breaking heat, and we talked about this as well, dangerously dry vegetation, erratic winds, has created the perfect storm for these fire outbreaks. These conditions, coupled with the relentless back-to-back nature of these incidents, have pushed our LEFD firefighters, our region, and our state resources and federal resources to their limits. Our resources have been and will continue to be stretched thin. The LEFD has operated with a significant reduction in funding, and that has real consequences. We spoke about that with our UFLAC representatives here as well as our fire commission. Fewer firefighters on duty mean longer shifts, increased fatigue, and heightened risk of injuries. The need for additional aircraft, specialized equipment, and staffing is more critical than ever. So we have also seen the impact on our communities, and that's absolutely where our hearts are full in regard to supporting however we can in regard to the communities that we serve each and every day. Is evacuations, property loss, health risks due to poor air qualities, and growing concerns from residents about future wildfires. Our department, your LEFD, has worked tirelessly to mitigate these risks, but we've heard that again, even from you, FLAC, we cannot do it alone. I want to emphasize that despite these challenges, the LEFD, our partners, have saved countless lives and protected thousands of homes. And I do think that we need to look at that and also give the accolades where they're due, and that's to our people doing the work on the ground. Our firefighters have displayed extraordinary skill, professionalism, and a true commitment during these challenging times. So let's just talk about moving forward in preparedness and the support that we're going to need. While we take pride in our successes, we must also be proactive in preparing for what lies ahead. The frequency and intensity of our wildfires in Los Angeles are increasing, so we must be ready. So to that end, and I agree with you, President Hudley Hayes, that we will continue to work closely with you, with Mayor Bass, with city leadership, with labor, because we know what we need to do and how we need to build out the fire service as a whole. So what do we need to focus on? Increase our funding for staffing, equipment, aircraft to improve our response capabilities. Additional training and resources to support our firefighters' overall health, wellness, and just overall well-being. Continue to strengthen our interagency coordination to ensure we maximize our additional resources for large-scale incidents. And also to continue to enhance our community education programs so that our residents can continue to be really strong partners with the fire service as we move ahead. I think you know, and I sure hope you know in your hearts, that our LEFD, your LEFD firefighters, are absolutely 100% committed to protecting the residents of Los Angeles. They are willing to put their lives on the line each and every day, and they demonstrate that every single day. But in order for us to continue to do this effectively, we need the full support of our commission, and I believe we've got it, continue to work with city leadership, and build out the LEFD to where we need to be. Let us work together to ensure that your LEFD is properly equipped, funded, and staffed to meet the growing wildland threat, as well as every single day 911 calls for service. We know where we need to go, and we know how to get there. The safety of our residents and our firefighters depend on it. I want to take a moment just to thank all of you for doing what you do and supporting the LEFD, for everybody that's here, our partnerships that we've got with our labor organizations, city leadership, across the region, state, and all the way up to the federal level. And to the firefighters, our firefighters, your firefighters of the LEFD, who continue to answer the call day in and day out. Each one of us should be, I know I certainly am, absolutely inspired by what you do every day, and your work and dedication does not go unnoticed. To the residents of Los Angeles, know that your LEFD will always stand ready to serve you. Thank you.
Thank you. We are now going to have 3B. It's the oral report by the Department on Significant Incidents and Activities for the period of December 18th through February 3rd. And we have Chief Flegel. Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am, again. And good morning, Council, Chief Crowley, Neverly, welcome. City Attorney and honored guests. My name is Philip Flegel. I am a Deputy Chief Assigned to Operations West Bureau. I'd like to tell you a little bit of information about the Palisades fire that occurred on January 7th. At 10:30 a.m., Los Angeles firefighters and LA City paramedics responded to a reported brush fire in the 1100 block of North Pedro Drive, which is located in Fire Stations 23's district in CD11. First responders and resources identified developing smoke column and estimated 30 to 40 mile per hour winds and request additional resources, both ground and aerial resources, to combat the fire. The 1st Battalion Commander immediately directed on-scene resources to commence evacuation of civilians and structure defense. Wire-dropping helicopters soon arrived on scene and assessed the fire was increasing in size of the potential to grow. Due to the fire's developing size, scope, multi-jurisdictional, and multifunctional complexities, a unified command organization of the LAFD, LAPD, Los Angeles County Fire Department, and Los Angeles County Sheriff Department was established. A request was also generated to approve a fire department, a fire management assistance grant, or FMAG, which I talked about several weeks ago. That was a grant that was approved, and a significant resource order was then requested for other specialized apparatus and resources, fixed wing resources, overhead personnel, and a California Fire Incident Type 1 management team. For the next 26 days, firefighters from all over California, Washington State, Colorado, Mexico, Canada, and even Israel battled the Palisades Fire. At the fire's peak, there was 5,104 people assigned to that incident. First responders assigned to that incident. The fire's final footprint of the Palisades Fire was 23,448 acres. It destroyed 6,831 structures of various size. 12 people were killed and forced evacuation of 24,600 people before it's fully contained on August 31st, 2025. The fire's cause is still under investigation by the Department of Justice Joint Task Force led by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, President Hudley Hayes, Vice President DeLugich, Commissioners, Chief Crowley, Deputy City Attorney Nguyen, Neverly, honored guests, and those listening in to this meeting. My name is Jamie Moore. I serve as the Deputy Chief assigned to Operations Valley Bureau, and I'm here today to provide an update on the series of fires that have occurred in Operations Valley Bureau since our last meeting. The Hearst Fire began on January 7th at 10:23 p.m., at the intersection of Yarnell and the 118 freeway in Sylmar. This fire spread from the city of Los Angeles through state land, which is protected by LA County Fire Department, and into the Angeles National Forest. A unified command was established with the Los Angeles Fire Department, Los Angeles County Fire Department, and the National Forest. I was one of the three incident commanders in this unified command. The fire, which occurred within the footprint of the Saddle Ridge Fire, burned a total of 799 acres. Fortunately, there were only two structures damaged, and there were no injuries to civilians or fire personnel. By January 16th, the fire was 100% contained. The Creek Fire started on January 9th at 1:51 p.m. at Big Tahunka Canyon Road near mile marker 5.6. Initially, the fire burned about a quarter acre of grass and brush, which was spotted by Air Attack 12 flying overhead. LAFD resources responded quickly and confined the fire to 3 acres with no structures damaged or destroyed and no reported injuries to civilians or firefighting personnel. The Kenneth Fire began on January 9th at 2:43 p.m. west of Gilmore Street near Victory Boulevard in West Hills. The fire spread across the city of Los Angeles into Ventura and Los Angeles County. The LAFD served as an assisting agency at this incident, with the fire being managed by Ventura County Fire Department and LA County Fire Department. The fire burned 1,052 acres and was fully contained by January 12th. There were no reports of structures being damaged or destroyed and no injuries to firefighters or the community. On January 10th at 10:40 a.m., the Archer Fire started along Roscoe Boulevard north of Meadowlark Avenue in Granada Hills. The fire initially burned 2 to 3 acres of light to medium brush with erratic winds in the area. The LAFD was able to contain this fire to 18.8 acres. Again, there were no structures damaged or destroyed and no reported injuries to civilians or firefighting personnel. Then on January 22nd, a fire broke out east of the 405 freeway near the Getty Center Drive exit in the Sepulveda Pass. Fortunately, thanks to resources that were assigned to the Palisades incident, Firefighters were able to quickly stop its progress. The fire was contained to 45 acres with no structures damaged, no injuries to community members. I'm incredibly proud to represent the dedicated members of the Los Angeles Fire Department who responded swiftly and effectively to these incidents. Their hard work and aggressive firefighting efforts prevented further damage and ensured the safety of our community. I'm also pleased to report, as mentioned, all of these incidents were managed without any injuries to civilians or our firefighting personnel. Thank you for your time. This concludes my report.
Thank you, Chief Moore.
Thank you.
I think we have another one more person. Oh, Chief Fields.
Once again, good morning, Madam President, Vice President DeLukic, fellow commissioners, Madam City Attorney, and Chief Crowley. Good morning.
Good morning.
And again, welcome to all of our guests in the room. My name is Richard Fields. I'm a deputy chief assigned to Operations Central Bureau. And I will be reporting on another wildland fire that we had in that span of time that Chief Crowley alluded to. Interestingly enough, during the span of these wildfires that was listed, just in Operations Central Bureau, we still had to respond to the rest of the city. In Operations Central Bureau, we responded to 3 major emergency structure fires, 6 greater alarm structure fires, while these major brush fires were going on. That is your LAFD. We would be remiss in recognizing, as Chief Crowley mentioned already, how stretched thin our folks are. People have the luxury of taking a break when it's time to take a break, taking the day off when it's time to take the day off. Mm-hmm. Your LAFD does not. When the bell goes off, they respond, and they do it every day, all hours of the day, sometimes with a little begrudging, and it's normal for humans to do that, but yet they still respond. This is what we're asking for support for. On January 8th, just after 5:30 p.m., LAFD resources responded to the reports of a fast-moving brush fire with immediate threat to homes and lives in the 2300 block of Solar Drive, which is located in the Runyon Canyon area of Los Angeles, just above Hollywood. This is in Fire Station 41's First Alarm District and Council District 4. The first arriving resources and command resources reported about 10 acres of brush that were moving, being pushed by high winds. Companies were deployed to begin building containment lines, understanding how fast the winds were pushing this fire, with the anticipation was that if we didn't put resources in place, it would be at 200 acres within 20 minutes. They built containment lines to slow the fire spread, and using tactical groups to protect homes immediately threatened on the south and east aspects of the fire. At the time, there were well over 300 individual homes that were threatened by this fire alone. And due to the fire's spread, with the assistance of LAPD, we evacuated all of those residents to safe shelter while we defended their homes and extinguished the fire. In scope, it took 49 engine companies, 4 hand crews, air assets from LA City and LA County, with ground assistance from LA County Fire Department and Orange County Fire Authority, 2 hours to mitigate the threats to homes, just over 3 hours to stop all forward progress of this fire, and we continued to mop up, ground patrol, and aerial patrol assess this area for the next day to extinguish or to ensure complete extinguishment. Due to the complexity of this fire, we left resources on scene for another couple of days just to make sure that there was no rekindling of those fires. Chief Crowley briefly mentioned this Sunburst fire. As with the Palisades fire, it happened just under 20 minutes after the start of the first Hollywood fire. the Sunburst fire started while we were battling the Sunset fire. And because of the proximity of resources and bringing resources not only from the Valley side but from the West side, we were able to quickly divert some initial resources to the Sunburst fire, which actually was a structure fire in the very high fire severity zone. We were able to get containment lines around that, and with the assistance of our air assets, we were able to extinguish the brush around that, and then our regular ground crews were able to extinguish that structure fire, which ultimately involved two large structures, well over 10,000 square feet, in just under 55 minutes. Again, the actions of your LAFD are consistent, persistent, and without equal anywhere in this country. That's the end of my report, unless you have any questions.
Thank you. Commissioners, we have questions? Do we have one more?
Nope,
or we?
No,
okay. Thank you, Chief Fields. We're going to now move on to the same oral report by the department, but this is going to be relative to medical emergencies for that same period, December 18th through February 3rd. We have Chief Moore.
Good morning, Madam President, Commissioners, Fire Chief Crowley, Deputy City Attorney Nguyen, and Ms. Hill. I am Justin Moore. I'm the Assistant Chief detailed to the EMS Bureau, here to provide the board with information regarding significant medical incident that took place since this last commission meeting. On January 15th, 2025, at about 12:10 in the early afternoon, the LA Airport Police received a report of an unconscious woman, a possible heart attack in the bathroom in one of the terminals at LAX. On arrival, the Los Angeles World Airport Police Department officers found a victim on her back in one of the bathroom stalls. The officers were in close proximity, closer than the fire department, and arrived there just before us and took over CPR from an off-duty nurse who was providing assistance in the bathroom at that time. The officers also applied an automated external defibrillator or AED, followed the prompts, performed CPR, and delivered two shocks prior to the LAFD showing up. On arrival, LAFD Rescue 51 and Engine 51 took over treatment, quickly assessed, and found this woman to be pulseless and not breathing. Engine 51 took over CPR. Rescue 51 provided oxygen. They placed the patient on the 12-lead monitor, started an IV, gave medications, defibrillated the patient twice more, and placed an advanced airway. So as a result of these quick and appropriate actions on scene, the patient had a return of circulation. So the patient was then packaged up, is what we call it. They continued with cardiac monitoring. The treatment continued on the way to the hospital, and she was transported to a hospital that had the ability to deal with this very specific and treatable cardiac event, and the patient did have a positive outcome as a result. This incident highlights the value of the over 1,200 AEDs that are maintained by the EMS Bureau and are located throughout the city in public parks and city buildings and at LAX. We also commend the LAWA PD and the highly skilled members of our LAFD who responded to the cardiac arrest and very quickly and decisively treated the patient, and again, we had a positive outcome. So we appreciate the professionalism of the paramedics at Fire Station 51 and their life-saving efforts, and as they continue to support the people of Los Angeles. And I'm happy to answer any of your questions, and if there are none, that's the end of my report.
Commissioners, do we have questions?
Thank you,
Chief Moore. Do we have,
no presentations.
Okay, so there are no presentations. So we're going to move on to agenda item 5, which is our consent agenda items. So they are 5A through 5F. Commissioners, do you need anything pulled off of the consent calendar? Okay.
No.
So can I get a motion?
Motion to approve the report and adopt the recommendations therein for items 5A, B, C, D, E, and F.
Second. Can I get a second? Oh, you did. I didn't hear you. Okay. Has it been moved and seconded? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. That takes us to agenda items, regular agenda item A, and that's going to be an oral report by LAFD Public Safety Risk Manager, providing a detailed description of the roles and responsibilities of that position. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Drew Steinberg. I am the Public Safety Risk Manager for the Fire Department. As the department's risk manager, I identify potential risk exposures, evaluate the likelihood of these risks, and then I prepare and recommend policies and procedures to mitigate or eliminate the risks. Recent examples of recommended policies and procedures are the updated traffic accident and investigation procedures policy, including the centralized traffic accident database and the electronic evaluation system for all sworn ranks. I work closely with the City Attorney's Office on litigation matters where the fire department is a party as a defendant or as a witness. In other words, I'm a liaison. As a liaison, I work with my team to gather and provide the requested information, such as documents and witnesses, to the City Attorney's Office. Examples of documents that are provided include, but are not limited to, payroll records, personnel files, and department policies. An example of witnesses that are provided could be a person most knowledgeable about a particular incident or a particular policy. Additionally, I serve as the department's designated HIPAA compliance and privacy officer. As the HIPAA compliance and privacy officer is a relatively new role, my team assists me in its functions. My team is comprised of two units, the litigation unit and the records unit. In the litigation unit, there is one Captain 2 and one Captain 1. The Captain 2 predominantly assists on litigation matters related to employment litigation. The Captain 2 tends to assist on civil litigation matters, such as department traffic accidents or professional negligence. Both captains' positions assist with the HIPAA compliance and privacy officer role. In the records unit, there is one management aide in lieu of a management assistant and one administrative clerk. These two individuals handle the public records requests for the department that receive related to the California Public Records Act and fire reports. This unit also handles all subpoenas for personnel appearance and the majority of subpoenas for documentation. EMS Records handles their own documentation subpoenas. Because both units are severely understaffed, as that's the theme we've heard of today for the department, the section relies on light duty details, which are individuals, sworn individuals who are injured members, to assist with the vast workload of processing requests for discovery for LAFD and non-LAFD cases, as well as the large quantity of public records requests. While the use of light duty personnel is currently working for the section, it is only a stopgap measure. The section requires civilian personnel for the workload that light duty personnel are handling, and then some. In the past couple of budget requests, the section has requested the needed civilian personnel. My section is supervised by the department's safety manager, assistant chief to administrative operations. The assistant chief reports to the chief deputy of administrative operations. My section is co-located with the risk management section that includes the risk management battalion chief, who oversees the safety and medical liaison units. The risk management battalion chief and I work closely together on matters regarding organizational and operational risk, workplace safety and risk administration, workers' compensation cost reduction, fraud, waste, and abuse matters, and the department's safety program. Together with our teams, we have worked on the departmental bulletins regarding injury, illness, on duty, and light duty procedures, non-injury illness on duty and light duty procedures, exposure reporting, and traffic accident and investigation procedures. With that, I'll entertain any questions.
Commissioners? Okay. Thank you very much for the report. I want to thank my colleagues for encouraging me to begin to bring forward more people that, in fact, assist the Los Angeles Fire Department in its role. Never could I have anticipated that we would have had the Palisades fires. But what I want to be able to begin to put on record for the public are all of the units, all of the divisions, all of the departments that support the work of the Los Angeles Fire Department. Our risk manager is an important, she plays an important part. And I want everybody to understand that not only in this room, but the viewing public, in terms of the liabilities that we're faced with and the things that she looks at, because those things are absolutely connected to the budget function. The more liabilities that the city faces, the more money gets pulled off of the budget to be able to take care of those things. And so this is an important position. So my question to you today is, I heard you mention that you needed to build your unit out a bit more, and I want to get that on record as we're talking about funding of the Los Angeles Fire Department. Yes, it is funding, Freddie, for boots on the ground. It's funding for more equipment. It's funding for more personnel. But the other thing that we have to make sure is when we're looking for funding, when I'm talking about this all-inclusive look, we need to also make sure that we're looking for funding that allows the city to understand that we do have people in place that are looking at the risk, that are looking at what the cost would be to the city if we didn't have somebody who had their eyes on that. So from now on moving forward, I'm going to ask that each department within the Los Angeles Fire Department comes forward and explains what it is that they do. The more we get people to understand the complexity of what happens with LAFD, I think we have a better chance of making sure that people understand that this is why we need to be fully funded. We heard Chief Justin Moore talk about what we do with EMS. We're now hearing Drew talk about what we do in terms of liability. All of that goes into how we're funded. So I want to continue to say to people that the Los Angeles Fire Department really is an all-hazard emergency response organization. That's what we are. And we need to make sure that the city council, that the administration, that anybody that is putting a budget together understands all of the things that we need to be fully funded and fully functional. So I want to thank you very much. I know we kind of put you on the spot, you know, at the last moment. We did not realize that this emergency was going to come up, but we will be doing more of that, and we will certainly be talking to and asking more questions about what it is that you do, what it is that you need. So thank you very much. Are there any other comments? Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I just want to reiterate before we close our meeting is I think the more transparent we are about what we do, I think then people will begin to understand why we're talking about the fact that we need more funding. I think I've said this at other commission meetings, I continue to believe that the city has no idea really and truly what the fire department does as an all-hazard emergency response organization. I am just not ever sure that anybody really understands how thinly we're stretched, because I don't think that they understand all of the things that we do. Some of it, we don't get anything back. I'm always the one that can't figure out why we can't have the brush clearance money back, but I understand that we can't. And so probably once a month, maybe not at every meeting, but once a month, I think we should be showcasing those departments that really underpin and undergird what happens with LAFD. So that's just my shout out for that's why we need more money. Okay, so I would entertain, commissioners, if there are no other comments, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We're
Aye.
Adjourned. Thank you. Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.